ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ न शुदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय। This is the sixth canto, chapter 11, entitled The Transcendental Qualities of Vritrasura. And today we're doing text number 23. Kindly repeat.
Traivargika Ayasa Vikhatam Asmat Patihi Vidhatte पुरुषस्य शक्र ततः अनुमेयः भगवत्प्रसादः यः दुर्लभः अकिञ्चनगोचरः अन्यैः त्रैवर्गिकायास विघातमस्मात् पतिर्विधत्ते पुरुषस्य शक्र ततोऽनुमेयो भगवत्प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किञ्चन गोचरोऽन्यैः। त्रैवर्गिकायास विघातमस्मात् पतिर्विधत्ते पुरुषस्य शक्र ततोऽनुमेयो भगवत्प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किञ्चन गोचरोऽन्यैः। त्रैवर्गिकायास विघातमस्मत् पतिर्विधत्ते पुरुषस्य शक्र ततोऽनुमेयो भगवत्प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किञ्चन गोचरोऽन्यैः। त्रैवर्गिकायास विघातमस्मत् पतिर्विधत्ते पुरुषस्य शक्रः ततोऽनुमेयो भगवत्प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किञ्चन गोचरन्यैः। त्रैवर्गिकायास विघातमस्मत् पतिर्विधत्ते पुरुषस्य चस्मात् ततोऽनुमेयो भगवत्प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किञ्चन गोचरोऽन्यैः। त्रैवर्गिकायास मघनस्मा
Patirvidhate purushasya sashnat. Tato numeyo bhagavat prasado. Yo durlabho kinchana gocharonyaihi. Trevargikaya sivighatam asmat. Vatirvidhatte purushasya sakshan. Tato numeyo bhagavat prasado. Yo durlabho kinchana gocharonyaihi. Ladies. Vidhate purushasya chakra. Ato numeyo bhagavat prasado. Guru lokin jinako charanyaihi. Vivargikaya sivighatam asmat. Patir vidhatte purushasya chakra. Yadurlabho kinchana gocharanyaihi. Trayvargika. For the three objectives, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses. Ayasa of endeavor. Vighatam, the ruin. Asmat, our. Patihi, Lord. Vidhatte, performs. Purushasya, of a devotee. Shakra, O Indra. Tataha, whereby, anumeyaha, to be inferred, bhagavat prasada, the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yaha, which, durlabha, very difficult to obtain, akinchana gocharaha, within the reach of the unalloyed devotees, anyaihi, by others who aspire for material happiness. Translation. Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. Please repeat. Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. There's a purport here by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Purport. There are four objectives in human life, namely religiosity, dharma, economic development, artha, sense gratification, kama, and liberation, moksha, from the bondage of material existence. People generally aspire for religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. But a devotee has no other desire than to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both in this life and in the next. The special mercy for the unalloyed devotee is that the Lord saves him from hard labor to achieve the results of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Of course, if one wants such benefits, the Lord certainly awards them. Indra, for example, although a devotee, was not much interested in release from material bondage. Instead, he desired sense gratification of a high standard of material happiness in the heavenly planets. Vritrasura, however, being an unalloyed devotee, aspired only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord arranged for him to go back to Godhead after his bodily bondage was destroyed by Indra. Vritrasura requested Indra to release his thunderbolt against him as soon as possible, so that both he and Indra would benefit according to their proportionate advancement in devotional service. Om Agnana Timirantasya Gnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by persons who aspire for material gains. So, Trivargika. Trivargika means of the three classes. They're also known as Trigana. That is to say, dharma, religiosity, or virtue, cultivation of virtue in general. Kama, sense gratification or the fulfillment of one's desires, and artha, you know, facility or economic development. In modern terms, it's called economic development. We see that each of these three human aims is prominent in a given society. In a society that is primarily sattvic, people are primarily concerned with dharma. In a rajasic society, people are concerned with economic development, and otherwise people are concerned with kama. Really, those two go, all three of them go together, because just like, for example, America was founded on the principles of dharma, religion. People came here and started this country in order to practice their version of Krishna consciousness in purity without obstruction from the government or from other entities. And, of course, the natural consequence of that is economic development. America became very wealthy, powerful. Even by some accounts, America still occupies the premier position in the world. But, generally, people are not purely motivated, even if they're sattvic and chiefly concerned with religion. It's religion concerned for with sense gratification, economic development. America is now hated worldwide because of its rampant emphasis on economic development. That's, if we have a sacred cow in American culture, that's what it is. You cannot step on free trade no matter what you do. So the real aim here is kama, or the fulfillment of desires. And when that becomes too hedonistic, of course, the society crumbles and is destroyed. So this is Trivartikika. And ayasa vighatam asmat patir vidhatte. Our Lord, he destroys the effects of one's endeavor for religion, economic development, and sense gratification, or he makes sure that it's not fruitful. And that's considered to be mercy. So here, Vritrasura is appreciating this point, and in fact, he's rubbing Indra's nose in this very same point. Because Indra, as we all know, is chiefly concerned with his material advancement, even though of the most pious level. No one can really cultivate sense gratification in a more pious way than the demigods do. And Indra is the king of those demigods. But Vritrasura is pointing out to Indra that really this is not the chief concern. And the Lord actually destroys a devotee's interest in these three concerns, whether economic development or sense gratification or even just worldly religion in a mundane sense. The Lord will destroy it. He'll make sure that you cannot perform it. He'll make sure that it doesn't achieve the normal fruition. Somehow or other, this is the words here. Vikatam is a very strong term. It means to destroy something, to kill something. Asmatpati, he arranges that it's lost. Tata, therefore, anumeya, it can be assumed, it can be inferred that mercy, Bhagavat Prasada, which is available to the akinchana gocharas, is durlabha. It's unavailable or very hard to attain anyai by anyone else. The hint here by the word anya by others is that others like you, he's speaking to Indra, anybody who's concerned with sense gratification. So the acharyas, therefore, Vira Raghava Acharya of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he directs our attention back to chapter 9. And you may recall that after the demigods all prayed to Lord Vishnu that please empower us to kill your devotee, Vritrasura, the Lord was not entirely pleased, and he said, Kim durapam mai prite tathapi vibudharshabhaha maye kantamatirnanyan matto vanchati tatvavit. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed on me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. So the Lord, indirectly, he regretted that they were asking to kill Vritrasura instead of attain pure devotional service, even though they happened to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So this is the great power of the Lord's Maya, that even if we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, we may actually ask him for something much less than that. We may ask him to entangle us. So this is the distinction between real mercy and false mercy. There are two ways you can look at this. One is that if one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura, he develops all the qualifications and all the facilities of the demigods. Or as we sing every morning, Sri Guru Charane Rati Eshe Uttamagati. The best goal to have is to develop a strong taste for service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Je prasade pure sarva asha. But the nature of that situation is that all one's other circumstantial or coincidental aspirations will be fulfilled. But if one instead aspires for those things separately, and one is at the same time a pure devotee, they will probably be frustrated. So it can go either way. So in this way, the Lord saves the unalloyed devotee from the hard labor to achieve religion, economic development, and sense gratification. But if one is determined and at the same time not exactly a pure devotee nor even desiring to be a pure devotee, then one may become Indra. One may become a demigod. They're also devotees, Sakama devotees, and one may be granted his opulence. So Vritrasura is almost teasing Indra here, saying that you're going to get what you want, but what you want is not really mercy. You're going to get this immediate gratification, sampada. The word was used in the previous verse, sampada, opulence in general. Divi bhumauda sayam, whether in heaven or on earth or in hell, you can get these things, but what is the result of these things? He points out, yad dvesha udvega adhira madak kalir vyasanam samprayasaha. That's at least half a dozen or more problems that accompany any deliberate or volitional cultivation of sense gratification or desires for material facility. What do those mean? Dvesha means envy. If you get the opulence that you want, you will probably do so by being envious at least of God and therefore of all others as well. Or once you get your opulences, you'll have to undergo the experience of being envied by other people. Just like there's a poet, Abdul Rahim, he's a courtier in the court of Akbar, and he wrote a nice couplet. He said that when you have a lot of money, you have also a lot of friends. But when your money is distributed and you're on your deathbed, nobody will come. Nobody cares anymore. Shankaracharya said the same thing. What is that? Anybody know this one? Just knowing. Yavat vitto parjana sakta tavan nijaparivaro rakta. Your family will be attached to you as long as you're able to produce money or sense gratification, however they desire it. Paschad jivati jarjaradehe. Later on, when you have to live in a decrepit old body that doesn't work anymore, and the mind doesn't work anymore, and is good for no one's purposes, then vartam kopina prichatigehe. Even in your own home, no one will bother to ask, how are you doing? They don't care. That's love in the material world. So one will be envied, and Shankaracharya also points out that if you become too wealthy, then you have to fear from your own sons. And it's a fact, at least of Indian history, that there's hardly you can find any king who didn't ascend to the throne by killing either his father or his siblings. That is the sorry state of materialism in this world. So this is one of the first result of cultivating sense gratification is that you have to deal with envy, either your own or someone else's. Then that's naturally udvega. You're full of anxiety. Adhir. Your mind is constantly disturbed by these thoughts, so much so that you can't sleep at night. It affects your health even, because too much stress will deplete the ojas, or the vital energy that allows prana to circulate throughout the body and rejuvenate and replenish and nourish good health in this material world. Mada, you become intoxicated more and more. When we cultivate any degree of sense gratification, even a little bit, we're choosing to go in the wrong direction. And all we have to do is continue on that same trajectory, and we will end up a demoniac monster. It's just a matter of time, because it's a toggle switch. Sankalpa vikalpa, the mind will go either towards Krishna or towards something non-Krishna. Bhayam dutiyabhinivesata syat ishada petasya viparya yo smriti. Kali, then quarrel naturally arises, because among thieves there can be no honor. Everyone in this material world is stealing the resources or exploiting the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they're fighting each other over the same. Vyasanam, or if you lose such fight, then you're also in anxiety, because samprayasa, you had to endeavor very hard for it. You cannot avoid any of these things. To any degree we cultivate sense gratification, you get these seven items that were mentioned in the previous text. And Vrutasura has already pointed that out. So he's saying that I don't think that this is really the mercy of the Supreme Lord, but it is what you're getting. You can kill me, and that's fine. You can have your opulence, but you're also going to get the result of killing me. And by now you've realized that I'm a devotee, I think. Certainly, by the time Indra kills Vritrasura, he's not very eager to do so. He's trying to avoid it as much as he can, but he can't, because it's fate. just see. This is called Kala Grasta. When we are, Grasta means grabbed by time factor, then you have to do what you have to do. Even if, as if against your will, you're forced to do it. And this is Indra's unfortunate condition. He's going from bad to worse. He's already offended his spiritual master, then he killed his priest, and now he's killing another Brahmin, another devotee, Vritrasura. So what is he going to do? Just see. He didn't even mention in the previous verse this one, this danger factor, that once you embark upon the karma marga, then it's very dangerous, and you can commit mistakes, because this is one of the four defects of any conditioned soul. Therefore, bhayam dvitiya abhinaveshita syat. As soon as you entertain something non-Krishna and go in that direction, then fear is your constant companion from that point on. Fear of such dangers, or fear of these other seven items that the previous text mentions and enumerates. So, tato anumeya bhagavat prasado. The real mercy of the Lord is something that is hardly attainable by others. Others meaning those who are cultivating this sakama bhakti, or just gross materialism without bhakti. This is the point that he's making here. But that bhagavat prasada, the mercy of the Lord, it's attainable by those who are akinchana gochara. This is the significance here. Those who don't want anything. Akinchana gochara. Now, this word is interesting because the mercy of the Lord, gochara. What does gochara mean? Huh? What does go mean? Cow. And it also means senses, therefore, because our senses are compared to dumb animals. They don't have any discrimination. You put prasadam in front of a cow, there's no question of politeness or etiquette. It's not like she's going to ask, are you done yet? May I take now? I've had that experience in Nathdwara, Rajasthan. Went to the Srinathji temple there. You can pay a small price and get a big basket full of all sorts of delicacies that they offer to Sri Govardhanathji, deity there. This is Madhavendra Puri's deity, Gopal. And we did this, a god brother and I, and we sat down. There was a little chowk, a little courtyard with tables and chairs, and people were taking their prasadam there. So we sat down with this basket, and just as we were about to take prasadam, this suddenly out of nowhere, this big cow appears, pushes the entire table over, and just you know, snarfs everything, within it quaffed it within a few minutes. Gone. No questions asked. Tables, chairs scattered, made a complete mess. It was as if the whole table suddenly exploded before we knew what was happening. Everything was gone. See? So the animal, the senses are like that. They don't have any restraint whatsoever. I was hearing Prabhupada said the other day, if a hungry man comes to your home while you're eating, at least he'll wait, or he'll ask you, may I, you know, he'll wait for you to ask him, would you like to join me? He won't sit down and start eating. But an animal doesn't have that kind of straight restraint. Therefore, the senses are called go. They're like dumb animals, cows. Gochara. What is gochara? Chara means charati. To go, to move. The path of the animals, right? Or the path of the senses. It's considered in Sankhya philosophy that you have a pathway from your, say, your eyes to the thing that you're looking at. And if your something is visible, it's within your gochara. It's within the graze, it's within the pasturing grounds of your senses, put it that way. So gochara. Now, akinchana gochara, that the mercy of the Lord, it comes within the perception of those who are akinchana, who have nothing in this world, nothing in the realm of sense gratification. They've invested their entire stock in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure representatives. So for them, the Bhagavat Prasado gochara, in that sense, akinchana gochara. Otherwise, anyai, for the others, durlabha. It's very rare, he says, for them to get the mercy. A couple of other things have been pointed out here by Vijayadwaj Tirtha and by Sridhar Swami and his followers. What are we getting at here? What's the real point that Vritrasura is making here? Yasyaham anugrihnami harishye dadhanam shanai. that Krishna tells Maharaj Yudhishthira after he performed his Ashwamedha Yajna. Of course, he had to undergo these seven aspects, these seven attendant factors of sense gratification before he could even perform that Ashwamedha Yajna. He had to defeat all of his enemies. It was such a difficult struggle, lifelong struggle. Finally, he became the king. He was able to perform the Ashwamedha Yajna, and he had a question for Lord Krishna. He asked him, well, how come it is that your devotees tend to be very poor, whereas devotees of, say, Lord Shiva, they're often very opulent? And Krishna answered with this verse. It's in the 10th canto, chapter 88, text is number 8. He says, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. We've already discussed that. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. There's a long purport, unfortunately. We don't have time to get into it, but he continues. When he becomes frustrated by his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I bestow my special mercy upon him. So this is what we're seeing here with Vrishrasura. He's eager to die. He says, go ahead, make my day, as Clint Eastwood said. Go ahead and release your thunderbolt on me. I'm happy to go back to Godhead, because for me, I immediately go to the Lord's side, and that's the eternal perfection. Whereas you have to rot here in this sampada with all these other factors that you have to deal with and anxieties that you have to deal with that attend it. So who's the winner here? So finally, Tad Brahma, Krishna is now beginning to qualify. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse. It's a little confidential, but Krishna begins to qualify what that special mercy entails. And he gives a number of adjectives here. He says, Tad Brahma Paramam Sukshmam Chinmatram Sad Anantakam. Srila Prabhupada explains this at some length in Krishna book. If you look up this chapter in Krishna book, Lord Shiva delivered. Tad Brahma, that mercy is considered to be Brahman, the absolute truth itself, because it's that profound. Paramam, it is the supreme thing, and Sukshmam, it is the most fine thing. It is the most refined thing that one can gain, that mercy, of the special mercy of the Lord. Very subtle, not everyone can understand it. Certainly those in the category of Anya, those who are cultivating sense gratification, they don't appreciate it. They look upon these verses and they think, oh, this is Vaishnava rhetoric. Right? They think this is the Vaishnavas trying to account for the fact that they all can't make it. Right? That's their faith. Chinmatram, it is absolutely spiritual. The opulence of a devotee, as we heard yesterday, or the poverty of a devotee, they're both absolutely spiritual. They don't have any degree of karma involved in them. That is to say, for pure devotees. Now, for mixed devotees, well, that's another story. You may have some karma, and you may have some degree of special mercy, as we're discussing here. But for the pure devotees, it is chinmatra. And that in itself is a subject of an entire lecture, but we don't have time to get into it. And sat anantakam, it is eternal and without end. This is the nature of the Lord's mercy. So on that topic, we can move on to Srila Sanatana Goswami's Krishna Lilastava, also called Dashama Charita, his prayer in glorification of all the Lilas of the Lord. There's a very nice passage there at the end of the book where he's talking about the mercy of the Lord. He says, my dear Lord, your mercy is a great wonder, non-different from you. It is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love. It can obtain for me your loving sidelong glance. It can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys and girls. Thus, for a helpless person, a kinchana, like me, it is the ultimate resort of all hopes. Your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal, but also ever new and fresh. To your mercy, again and again, I offer my obeisances forever. So these are some things we can think about. Finally, one more comment on this point of the Lord and the mercy and who gets his mercy. In this verse we see, I think it's in the second line, purushasya, the word purusha, of that person. The acharyas all unanimously agree that that person in this case means the devotee, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he specifies even more, swantaranga bhaktasya. Swantaranga bhakta means the internal devotee, that is to say the absolutely pure devotee. So it's not only someone who has nothing in this world, because many people have nothing in this world, at least relatively speaking, but swantaranga bhakta, that is the devotee who is so dear to Krishna because of his surrender that he's considered to be in the personal retinue of the Lord. And that's the category of the person who Krishna blesses with this special mercy, as he's blessed Vritrasura. So although it looks like Vritrasura had to take birth as a demon and is now going to lose even that body, it looks like he's a loser, whereas Indra gains and wins the victory for the demigod side. It's actually the other way around. Vritrasura is the recipient of this sukshma anugraha, this very confidential, very subtle mercy of the Lord, which is so valuable that it's non-different from him. I will stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Banavata Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice, informative class. My question is that since Krishna destroys his devotees' endeavors for, as you mentioned, religiosity, artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification, how can we as devotees establish the proper example of an ideal society without which, according to the acharyas, there's no hope of widely spreading Krishna consciousness?
That's an excellent question. Everybody understand the question? If Krishna smashes the endeavors from the realms of karma, artha, and kama for the devotees, then how is it that we're going to establish varnashram dharma, for example, as per the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, understanding that such establishment of dharma is really the bedrock or the foundation on which all further preaching can even go on, right? Is that what you're asking? Anybody have any answers to this question?
Krishna also teaches the devotees how to utilize whatever he's given to the utmost degree. So it doesn't really require very much. But so long as each of them is engaged in sketching that further as possible.
So Krishna will supply what we lack and preserve what we have, in effect. Yeah. That's one answer. Anybody else? This is a huge topic. It's a very, very big topic. But the conclusion that I have to draw from this is that the instructions of the spiritual master to establish or to exemplify varnashram dharma cannot be relegated to the mundane level of karma, artha, or kama. It is at the very outset, it belongs to the transcendental category of bhakti, because it is the order of the spiritual master. Therefore, it's not even comparable to mundane dharma. And it's certainly not the kind of thing that Krishna is going to smash, because Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, is given the instruction to establish it. Is that okay? Archita Prabhu?
Yeah.
that visitor happened to be drunk as a skunk, and sorry for the disturbance. Two things. One would be a technical Sanskrit question from the verse, and the other one would be, you spent quite a bit of time in Braj, as far as I understand, and tomorrow is Radhastami, so if you would like, just like to share something about Radha Tattva or some favorite pastime of Radharani. The technical question is on that second line, Purushasya. Is that, should that be a combination word, Purusha and Asya, or what is it?
No, why this is a nominal declension. In Sanskrit is an inflected language, and that means that in order to understand the function of a word in a sentence, it's given a particular ending. And for the masculine genitive singular of any noun that ends in the a vowel, Purusha, for example, it takes the sya termination, which indicates of that person or of the devotee. But we don't know that the Purusha mentioned is a devotee, so that we depend on the commentators, and they've all said this, and I mentioned already what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said about it. Not just a devotee, but a very special devotee, very specially blessed devotee. Such a devotee is naturally swantaranga, means within the internal, clique, if you will, of Srimati Radharani and her associates, including her servants. Yesterday was Lalita Shashti, the sixth of Lalita, means the appearance day of Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is the best friend of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. And most of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas also prefer to worship Srimati Radharani through Lalita Devi and her followers. So it's a very, very special period for us, these 2 days. We're sandwiched in between Radhashtami and Lalita Shashti. Today is the Saptami, the seventh. And so we can remember these two devotees, first of all, Srimati Radharani as being the foremost devotee of the Lord, and Lalita being her chief follower and confidant and friend. But we can also pray to them that we can take shelter of their pure followers, which comprises our Guru Varga, our entire line of spiritual masters coming all the way from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the six Goswamis and acharyas such as Narottam Das, Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, and our own spiritual master. That's something I can say. Otherwise, in Vrindavan, I'm not really qualified to say much about Vrindavan, not qualified to live there. But I do know at least this much, that by taking shelter of the devotees 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 of these devotees, then one can gradually get this mercy that we've been talking about, the mercy that Krishna mentions in the 10th canto. Anything else? Okay, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Speaking of the devotees of Vrindavan, yesterday in Haridam, this girl came up to me. She said, "Are you a Hare Krishna?"